Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, committed to helping Americans lead healthier lives and get the care they need, on the web at rwjf.org.
You're listening to Morning Edition on WCVE Public Radio. Brian Ford joins us now live from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of business and financial news. Hi, Brian.
Morning, Wayne. How are you feeling?
Well, fine, thank you. Well, it's a foggy day in Richmond Town, and I'm wondering if this fog is somewhat of a metaphor for what's going on, particularly with regard to the fiscal cliff.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it, Wayne. I think there definitely is a thick fog that is clouding investors' minds right now. You know, last week was not a bad week, Wayne. It was kind of a flat week, essentially, for stocks, which is to say nothing really bad happened. But, you know, every day is filled with more news about no news on the fiscal cliff negotiations in Washington. I can tell you anecdotally that the conversations we have with clients every day reveal very little clarity about what directions investors feel they should proceed in. Leads to a lot of cash and a lot of hard questions. One good sign, though, Wayne, banks are acting better these days. Despite the zero interest rate policy of the last 4 years of the Federal Reserve and how it's hurting bank margins, investors believe that a better housing market is going to boost bank shares. Why? Simple. Non-performing loans are not as prevalent as they were. That's a code word for bad loans, and they don't have to foreclose on as many homes. The other things to note this week, Wayne, is pretty light in terms of news. Yes, there'll be a Federal Reserve meeting, but we're not expecting anything new, more of the same. In fact, a doubling down on the bond purchases, about $85 billion a month now. And yes, we're going to get McDonald's same-store sales, but generally the focus remains the fiscal cliff 24/7.
Okay, now we're starting to get a few hints of optimism out of Washington over the weekend. Publicly, at least, the two sides still seem far apart. Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the implications. If we fall off the cliff or if we don't.
Yeah, I call this a deeper dive into understanding the fiscal cliff issues better. Most discussions now, Wayne, seem to focus on clearly the capital gains tax or the dividend tax rates, but we think there are other areas deserving of attention. First and foremost, the 2% payroll tax break that we've had for the last couple of years is definitely going back in. So every worker is going to feel that bite in their paycheck. This is going to affect millions of low-income and middle-class workers directly. We hear there may be another debt downgrade for the U.S., maybe as early as March. You probably remember in August of 2011 when the debt ceiling issue came up, caused a lot of major problems. And now the ratings agencies Moody's and Fitch say they are leaning toward a downgrade of U.S. credit to AA if we can't make progress. Third, this is interesting, jobless claims benefits are due to be cut off on December 29th to 2 million people and another 1 million people by March 31. This is a very hotly debated issue since the benefits have already been extended several times over the past 3 years, up to 99 weeks in many cases. But the cut of unemployment benefits will definitely hit the pocket of a number of families. Bottom line, Wayne, the fiscal cliff has become a very divisive issue in and of itself. Some investors view it like Armageddon and they're paralyzed by it. Some investors think it's no big deal. And some think it's good we're going to go over the cliff. But clearly we're going to get more rhetoric this week, but as you say, no clear deal yet right now.
The latest jobs report, as usual, was mixed. But the good news is the jobless rate continued to inch downward, 7.7%.
Yeah, this is interesting to watch here. You're right. The report came out better than expected, about 146,000 new jobs created for the month of November. That was a little better because many had thought that Hurricane Sandy was going to cause the elimination of tens of thousands of more jobs, but it didn't, which was good. As you mentioned, the rate itself dropped to 7.7%, the lowest it's been in quite some time. But yet that remains an anomaly as well. In case you have not heard, the rate is dropping also because more people keep leaving the workforce. In the month of November alone, 540,000 people dropped out of the workforce. This causes the percentage of the U.S. population that actually has a job to drop to the lowest level since 1980, and that's a long time. We've also heard that some high-profile situations are leading to job losses right now. You've heard about Hostess Brands and their bankruptcy. And even Citibank are projecting job cuts in excess of 10,000 right now. Now, to be fair, Wayne, banks and other institutions often cut jobs at the end of the year for budgeting purposes, so December's report may not look so great on its own. Bottom line, the employment numbers do continue to go up, which is a good sign, but we still would like to see more than about 60% of the U.S. Working population actually have a job.
What's the latest from China? We talked recently about the political transition going on there, but what economically should we be paying attention to?
Well, I would say, Wayne, that the news in China is good and has been getting better. You and I have noted recently that things have turned around for the better over the past 3 to 6 months. And that's after a pretty rough start to 2012, the first 6 months of the year for them. In fact, I note that the Shanghai and Hong Kong stock indexes are near their highest levels in a year. That's a very good sign. There's kind of a triple play of positive news coming out of China last week, and I'm just going to go over them very briefly. Manufacturing activity was up again. That's a very big deal. Also, the services sector also showed strong gains. And housing prices gained yet again. That's a nice formula. On top of all that, China's neighboring country, Australia, lowered interest rates again. And a report showed that inflation in Asia has remained very low. Now, let's be honest. Export growth in China is still not great due to Europe being much slower right now. And domestic demand among Chinese consumers themselves is just really starting to get better. But the recent data shows a true broadening of the recovery in China and gives the new political leadership a little breathing room heading into 2013. So I would say in general the news from China has been good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm